Okay, welcome everybody. It's a true, incredible schus to be back together, to learn Torah, to grow, especially during these very special days of Sfiras HaOmer. Before we begin, I want to just thank, we have tonight an anonymous sponsor who's sponsoring. First and foremost, they wanted to sponsor for the refuah, for all the cholim that still need refuos. We can't stop davening. There's so many individuals that are in hospitals or even at home who need our tefillos during this very difficult time for the world and for Klal Yisrael. Mirtz Hashem, all the Torah, all the chizik, all the soiris, should be a big schus for refuos and yeshuos bekarov. That's first of all. But also, it's being sponsored, this anonymous sponsor is a mishpacha I'm very close to, and I want to have in mind that Mirtz Hashem should be a big schus for their own personal yeshuos, begashmi baruchni, for only simcha and bracha and nachas from the entire beautiful, incredible mishpacha. Mirtz Hashem, through the chizik, through the Torah, should be a big schus for every member of their mishpacha. The Halakha Divrei Chaim, Reb Chaim Sanzer, so he once said about himself that in his youth, he thought that he had the ability to change the world. He mamish had big, big dreams. He dreamed big. He had the ability to change the entire world. And as he grew older, he started to realize, I'm not so sure I'm able to change the world. I'm not so sure I can have that effect. But at least, at first he thought, I could change, I could be mashpia, I could influence my country. That I could change. As time went on, and he grew older, he said to himself, I don't even think I could change my entire country. But at least, my city, my year, those closest, those I could change. He continued to grow, and eventually he said to himself, I don't even think I could change my city. I don't think I could influence my city. But at least my mishpacha, at least my family, B'nai Beiso, his home, his children, his family. And as he grew older, eventually he said to himself, I don't even know if I could change my family, have an effect on my family. But at least I could change myself. At least I could have hashba and influence and change myself. Those are the words of the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer Rebbe, Heilige Yid, whose Yortzeit was last week, Zchuso Yagen Aleinu. The Tasha Rebbe, Zeche Sadik HaShavracha, from Montreal, he said, in truth, you have to understand these words. These are very deep words. And the truth is, the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer Rebbe, he actually never gave up and never stopped believing that he could change the entire world. But as time went on, and as he grew, and he has understood the world more and more, he realized he could change the entire world through changing himself. When he said by the end that I could only change myself, he realized that through changing himself, he could have an effect on the entire world. That we have to realize each and every one of us is precious. And when we grow and we work on ourselves, when we work on our davening and work on our chesed, and work on our tznias and work on all the areas of life that we can work on, it has an effect on the entire world. It has an effect on our family. It has an effect on our city. It has an effect on our country. And it has an effect on mamish, our entire world. And we have to believe that and we have to know that. What responsibility we have is not then just towards ourselves. But our focus should then be on ourselves and our own growth. And realize what an effect we can have. But we have to dream big. We have to dream big within ourselves, not necessarily to dream big in needing to influence the world, but dream big just in changing ourselves and knowing then we can change the world. I'll never forget, many years ago, it's 20 years ago, my first summer married. I had this chus to be with my wife. We're just married a few months. We were married Gimel Adar, Sheni, March 9th, 2000. That summer, we spent the summer in Eretz Yisrael. an NCS Waikolel in Efrat. It was the last summer NCS Waikolel was in Efrat. It was an incredible summer. And it was the first summer that Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita and Rav Meir Twersky came on NCS Waikolel. And Rav Meir Twersky spoke at the end of a Shal Shudas. And you know, we've all been on different camp settings, NCS Y Shabbatonim, whatever it might be. And the one who speaks at the end of Shal Shudas, it's always a very powerful drasha. It's full of inspiration. I'll never forget Rav Meir Twersky, one of the Gedolim, at Tzadik, at Talmud Chacham. He looked around at a room full of 250 teenagers. And he said to them, I'm jealous of you. I'm jealous of each and every one of you. Because you can still dream big. You could still dream to be big in all different areas of life. He said, I'm already washed up. I can't dream anymore. I've become who I've become. To hear such words from Rav Twersky, Rav Twersky was Mekayim dreaming big. He's changing the world every day. But we have to dream big. We have to believe if we could change myself, I could change the world. I have an effect on the entire world. I'm the center of the world in a certain sense. And I'll never forget beautiful words that one of my Talmidim many years ago at my Shabbos table said over, a Talmud of mine who now some of the Chever might know, David Bashevkin. David Bashevkin, he writes an article in Mishpacha magazine sometimes. He works for NCSY. When he was a senior in high school, I had him by my house for Shabbos. And I asked him to say a Dvar Torah Friday night at the table. And he said, we know that we're compared to the stars. The Klal Yisrael is compared to the Kochavim, to the stars. From Parshas Lech Lecha, when Avram was promised by Hashem, that we'll be like the stars in the heaven. He says, really? We're not close to as numerous as the stars. There are billions of stars. We're a very small nation, 12, 13 million Jews. What does it mean we're like the stars? There are a billion Christians, a billion Muslims. We're not like the stars. We're not as numerous as the stars. He said so beautifully that he read at that point, this is going back about 18 years ago, perhaps, 18 years ago, 17 years ago, he read an article by Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking came up and proved this theory at the time that the universe and the sky has an infinite amount of space. It's never ending. And he said, based on that theory, that that means that every single star is the center of the universe. Every star is the center of the universe. Because every star has an infinite amount of space around it. So therefore, what does it mean that Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, that your children will be like the stars? Chaver, you know what it means? It means that each and every one of us is the center of the world. And therefore, each and every one of us, as the Divrei Chaim was saying based on the Torah of the Tosher Rebbe, that means each and every one of us has the ability to change the world. We have to believe in that. We have to believe in that ability. And we're in the days of Svira, and these are big days of growth, as we've spoken about many times over the years, big days to work on ourselves. As Klal Yisrael was growing from the 49th level of Tumah, to reach a level of purity to receive the Torah, and we have to be emulating that. We need to be changing ourselves so that we can change the world and change what's going on in the world. You think you have no effect on Corona? You have no effect on what's going on? Of course you do. We have to believe in that. My tefillos matter. My tshuva matters. My growth matters. It has an effect not just on myself, but on the entire world. But in what way specifically? There's so many ways to change and to grow. What should we be working on at this point in our lives during these Yemei Svira? So you know, we've mentioned many times over the years, the Pazik says, Vayivarech l'kim es yom ha'ishvi v'ayikadish yaso. Hashem blessed the seventh day and made it holy. It means that Shabbos is not just a holy day. That's one level. Of course, Shabbos is a holy day full of Kedusha, full of Bracha. But it's much more than that. Svarim explain, and the Mefarshim there, if you look inside, Shabbos is Makor HaBracha, and Makor HaKedusha. All Kedusha and Bracha of upcoming week comes from the Shabbos before it. All Kedusha Bracha of this week came from Shabbos. That's why before you have a chasana, you have to have an ufruf. Before you have a bris, you have to have a shalom zalcher. You start the celebration from Shabbos, because it affects that Shabbos is the Kedusha of a chasana of the upcoming week, of a bris of an upcoming week. So the Kedusha of this week that we're in right now, the Kedusha, the holiness of the week we're in right now, comes from the Shabbos, this previous Shabbos. So I believe if we want to understand what I'm supposed to be working on right now in my life, we have to look back to Shabbos. And what were the parashas this past Shabbos? I know we were not in shul. Unfortunately, we're not back there yet. Hopefully, Bez Hashem, we have to believe it's possible. Hopefully this Shabbos will be in shul. But Amir Hashem, we'll be able to cherish it. We'll be able to understand how special it is to be in shul. But what was this past Shabbos? What were the parashas? The parashas were Tazria, Metzora, and the large focus of those parashas of Tazria, Metzora is obviously tzaras, leprosy, the spiritual disease that occurs, as we've been taught, from a very young age, for many reasons in the Gemara, but primarily discussed Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara. And therefore, there's no question that I believe our avodah at this point in our lives is to work on our dibor and our speech, how we talk. How we talk. Lashon Hara, of course, classically means not to speak badly about other people, and that's a huge part of it. But it means to speak in a beautiful manner, to not speak discussions about topics that are inappropriate. It means to speak with a nice way of speaking. My Rebbe, the Astor of Kalashina Rebbe, of David Spiegel, he'll never say anything in a negative fashion. Even if he wants to say something in a negative way, he won't say it negatively. He'll say it in a positive. For example, he won't say something's bad. He'll say it's not good. It's not good. I don't want to say the word bad. It's not good. There's a different way of speech. Koach ha-dibur. We have to make sure that our dibur, our speech, is so full of purity and so full of holiness. And not speaking a word of Lashon Hara, and not just the classic Lashon Hara, but any bad speech. After all, that's who we are, is what we say. The Maral famously... The Maral discusses the different levels of this world. The lowest level is something called a domeim. Domeim is an inanimate object. It's not alive. A rock, dirt. A domeim is called domeim. You know, domeim also means to be silent. The lowest level means it doesn't have the ability to speak. It doesn't have the ability to speak. Then it's someach, plant life that grows, that flourishes. And then you have a behema, animal life. Animal, fish, birds, the highest level is not called an Adam. Not just called a person, it's called a Medaber, a speaking individual. Because what separates us from the rest of the creations of the world, and from even animals, is our ability to speak. And therefore it has to be so holy and so precious. And therefore, not just this week after Tazria Metzora, but I believe this whole period of time, Sirius Omer, there's no more important avoda to work on than our koach adibur, what comes out of our mouth. To be sensitive to what comes out of our mouth, how we talk, what we talk about. Chas v'shalom, God forbid, to say negative about another person. Who are we to do that? Do we know their place? We hardly know ourselves. And it's so rampant, Lashon Hara, in the world, in our community, in our lives. Think about it for a moment. If we thought about it intellectually for a moment, we're crazy that we talk Lashon Hara. We have no idea somebody else's life, and what they're going through, what's going on in their home. Would you want anyone speaking in such a way about yourself? And these are big days. You know, these days, Sfiras HaOmer is really a continuation from Pesach. The Ramban explains that Pesach, Sfira, and Shavuos is really one long unit of Geula, physical redemption, but ultimately spiritual redemption. After all, the whole avodah is to be free to serve Hashem. So first we need to be freed from Egypt, from Mitzrayim, so where there's no servitude, so I can physically be free to serve Hashem. But until I receive the Torah, I'm not really free to serve Hashem because I don't know what to do. I don't know how to serve Him. So it's all one long process. And therefore we're still interconnected on some level to Pesach until we get to Shavuos. So the Ramban says it's like one long yantiv, where Pesach are the first days, Svir is Chol HaMoed, and Shavuos are the last days. Pesach Svarim explain. Pesach and Golus Mitzrayim was very interconnected to not speaking properly. And that's why Paro are the letters Pe-Ra. Pe-Resh, Ayin, Hey could also be Mitzuruf, could be organized to say Pe-Ra. Paro is Pe-Ra. Pe-Ra means the bad mouth. Bad mouth brought about Golus Mitzrayim on some level. And we went free, we're Pesach. Pesach doesn't just mean to pass over. But if you split it up, Pesach, Pesach means the mouth that finally could speak. The mouth that finally could speak properly. So, Sicha is a speech. Pesach. To speak. And when the days of Sfiras Omer, the Heilige Beis Aaron of Karlin explains that they start from the days of Karban Omer, and the Omer we did well, a Tanufa, we waved it. Tanufa could also be made up as Tanu Peh. Give us our mouth back. Give us our mouth back. So these are very big days to give us our mouth back. Very big days to work on Kedushas HaDibur, speaking properly. Speaking properly and not speaking negatively about others and not speaking about inappropriate things we shouldn't be speaking about. And by the way, I want to add on tonight. I don't believe in our generation it goes a step further. Because I think Kedushas HaDibur is not just about speaking anymore. I think it's also about texting. We live in a world of technology where our mode of communication, of being a medaber, is not just from the mouth, but it's also with our fingers. Through WhatsApp, through Facebook, through Instagram, through whatever way you do it. But that's our new mode of communication. And even basic texting. It's a mode of communication, and so sometimes, sadly, a mode of communication which is easier to hide behind. And easier to speak Lashon Hara. And again, not just the classic Lashon Hara, although obviously the classic Lashon Hara. But it's easier to speak all types of negative speech. And therefore we have to even be stronger, be mechazik more than ever. In our door, Kedushas HaDibur. And Kedushas HaDibur, I believe, again, goes and expands to how we use our phones in all ways, not just with our mouths, but even with our fingers. And yes, the nisayon, the trial and the tribulation, the challenge is greater than ever. But that's why when we pass this challenge and we work on it, there's no greater influence we could have on the entire world. And when we change ourselves, we could change the world. And we have to believe in that. Don't worry about changing others. Let's just change ourselves. And by default, we'll have an effect on the whole world in an incredible way. It's time to really work on this. There's a Gemara in Erechin. There's a Gemara in Erechin daf tezvav on the days. That Gemara, by the way, I don't think most of you are opening up a Gemara, but that Gemara goes through all different, that daf goes through all different terrible statements of what Lashon Hara is. It says if you speak Lashon Hara, it's like you're a koifer be'ikr. It's like you're denying God's existence. Speak Lashon Hara, you can have all types of negayim. Speak Lashon Hara, you deserve to be stoned. Speak to Lashon Hara, Hashem says, I don't want to be in the same generation with such a person. Lots of different lines. But before getting into all that, I want to read you the beginning of the Gemara. It's a very interesting Gemara. Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Yossi ben Zimra. Rav Yochanan says the name of Rav Yossi ben Zimra. Mai Dechsiv, what is the Pasuk? Some of you should know this Pasuk, because it's part of Tehillim in Kapitel Kuf Chaf, 120. What more can I give to you? What can I add to you? The deceitful tongue. What's going on? Hashem saying, I made you in a perfect way. I can't do any more for you. Why are you continuously being deceitful? Why are you continuously using your tongue in a negative way? Hashem made you in a perfect way. What does it mean he made you in a perfect way? And he's nothing more I could add to you. He did a lot for the tongue already, and the Gemara explains. Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu LaLashon. Listen, very interesting Gemara. Incredible Gemara. Kadosh Baruch Hu said to our tongue, Kol Eivarav Sha'adam Zekufim. All the different limbs of the body stand up straight. And if you look at the body, everything in the body is straight. When you're standing up straight, everything is straight from top to bottom. V'atam Mutal, but you're resting flat. You're going the opposite direction. The tongue is perpendicular to the rest of the body. The rest of the body is standing up straight, and the tongue is lying flat. We'll get back to that. Kolei varish adam mibchutz v'atav mipnim. All the limbs of the body, everything else, our hands, our feet, our eyes, our ears, our nose, are on the outside. V'atav mipnim, you're inside the mouth. V'lod, not only that, el shekapti l'cha shtei chomos. I surrounded you with two walls to protect you. Achas shel etzem v'achas shel basar. One of the teeth, right? One of the teeth surrounds the etzem, the bone, and one of flesh, the lips. What more can I do for you? So let's understand this Gemara. Hashem saying to the tongue, I tried to protect you from speaking badly. So there's three different things the Gemara goes through. We're going to analyze backwards. The final is I gave you two walls of protection. The lips and the teeth. That we understand. Hashem saying, physically, I tried to show you. You need to stay in. Don't use yourself in an improper way. What else? What was the middle case in the Gemara in Erechin? The middle case in the Gemara Erechin that said for the tongue that all the other limbs naturally on the outside, you're on the inside, you're already on the inside. Keep yourself inside when you're supposed to. That also makes sense, to help the tongue not speak in an improper way. But what does it mean? All the other limbs are straight and you're resting. What does that mean? Well, who cares? How's that a shmira, a protection to not speak in an improper way? So the Maral says in the Sivas Olam, Hashem made the tongue in a resting position to remind us to make sure we put our speech at rest. Make sure we're not so quick to constantly be speaking, but know how to be quiet, know when to be quiet, know when not to say, know when to rest your tongue. So naturally, it's in a resting position. As the Gemara Megillah says, Mila besela mishtuka betrain. If you got one sela for every word you speak, you deserve two for being quiet. We have to know when not to speak, know when not to say something that's improper, know to have the proper Kedusha as Hadibar, to have the proper speech. You know, there was once a Talmud of the Chavetz Chaim. And the Talmud of the Chavetz Chaim came to the Chavetz Chaim, and this Talmud was already a Rav in his shul. And the Talmud came to the Chavetz Chaim and says, Rabbi, I'm constantly giving drushas, speeches, but I feel like I get through to nobody. I'm not being mashvi, I'm not influential, I'm not getting through to anyone, no one's really changing. It's all just a waste of time. Every time I speak, I'll speak for an hour and I feel like it's a waste of time. The Chavetz Chaim looks at him and he says, do you understand that the Vilna Gaon explained that every single time a person closes his mouth and doesn't speak improper words, Yezoichid, like the craziest amount of arganas. Okay, I don't think the Chavetz Chaim said the craziest amount, but you get it. You get it. He said, Yezoichid, like the most incredible reward when you keep your mouth shut and don't speak improperly. I don't know how much the Chavetz Chaim looks at this Talmud and says, I don't know how much you're getting through either. I don't know how much people are changing, but I'll tell you something. During your drushas, every person's there with their mouth closed. You're accomplishing a lot. You're accomplishing a lot. Just for a yid, for a person to close their mouth and not speak improperly is tremendous. And we have to learn to be that type of person. To learn when not to speak. To not need to say over that juicy piece of Lashon Hara. That would be exciting to share because we naturally like other people putting other people down so that I feel better about myself. And it's exciting to tell over what happened and what happened to this person. But let's think twice before we do and realize that mamish, it's full of destruction when we speak like that. And we have the ability to be so full of building ourselves, and thereby the Devar Chaim was teaching us building the entire world. And to speak about things that are inappropriate. The whole world, the whole entertainment world is all just talking about things that are inappropriate. It's just all inappropriate. What do we need to talk about that stuff for? Why? Have Kedushas Adibur. You open up, you don't. You open up any newspaper, anything. It's just talking about everything that's inappropriate that we don't want to be speaking about. So don't. So don't anymore. We know we're not supposed to. So let's really work on it. Let's grow. Let's think about it. Let's be cognizant of it. Let's train ourselves. So let's start tomorrow. I'm going to take 1 hour where I'm cognizant about everything I say. I'm going to be thinking about it. Not speak one word that's inappropriate. One word that's Lashon Hara in any type of manifestation of Lashon Hara. And slowly build off that. And really start doing it. I don't know, some one of you start a project that we all could do it together. We need to do it. But you know, Chever, it's not enough just to be a mute. Says, hey, I'll be a mute. I won't speak at all. So I won't speak anything negative. I won't speak at all. You know, the Metzora, when he goes through his process of purification, he brings two birds. One bird is shechted, and one bird is let to fly away. What do these birds represent? So, very famously, we all know the birds chirp a lot. They chirp a lot, and therefore it represents someone talking too much and speaking in a way that they shouldn't be speaking. That's what the bird represents. But why two? So look, the Metzora didn't speak properly and brings a bird. But why two? The one that Yishecht represents saying, I want to get rid of any negative speech in my life. I don't want to talk about things I shouldn't be speaking about ever again. The one that you let live and fly away saying, but I'm not going to be mute. I'm not just going to be quiet. Hashem wants us then to use our mouth in a proper way. Use our mouth to build others. Use our mouth to be mechazik others. Use our mouth to praise other people, to talk highly about other people. Because you know what you could do with a word to build another person? What chias, what life it could give them, how it could change their life forever. Just talk nicely about others. And use our mouth to talk Torah and give over Torah. And use our mouth to daven. Daven to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. We use our mouth in a proper way, but specifically in our socialization and our interaction with others. Don't stop talking. Talk in a positive way. Let's build the world. You know what a good word could do for another person? We have the power in our speech to destroy or to build. There's a medrash. Medrash is found in Koheles Rabbah. Crazy medrash. Crazy story. The medrash says that there was a man who was walking and he saw two birds fighting. And one bird killed the other bird. Bird felt bad. Didn't mean to kill his friend. The bird flew away. Comes back with this branch. And puts the branch by the mouth of the bird that he killed. And tchias hamesim. The bird comes back to life, the Medrash says. So the man sees this branch. And the man says, wow. A magical branch. It could breathe tchias hamesim. So the man picks up this branch. And he says, I'm going to bring this branch to Eretz Yisrael to resurrect all the dead, to bring Tchiyas HaMesim to everybody who's dead in Eretz Yisrael. Incredible. It's what we're all waiting for. On his way to Eretz Yisrael, he saw a dead lion. On the way to Eretz Yisrael, he saw a dead lion. So he said, I want to try this out. I want to test it out. Make sure it works for me. Maybe it's one-time usage. You know, sometimes there's certain things you could buy, a one-time usage. And then it's over, it can't be used again. None of the chever here knows what I'm probably about to talk about. When I was very young, so we didn't yet have digital cameras or cameras on our phones. We had cameras and we had film. And they also made disposable cameras, which you go one time, like 24 pictures, and that's it. Never to be used again. Disposable cameras. One-time usage. Maybe this branch was a one-time usage. So he goes to the lion, the dead lion that he sees on the ground. And he puts the branch by the mouth of the dead lion. And mamish, the lion comes back to life. Tchias ha-mesim. The lion comes back to life. Incredible. The lion's been dead and starving. The guy goes, jumps on the guy, and mamish kills the guy. What's the medrash saying? The Medrash is talking about the Koach HaDibur in our tongue. That same branch had the ability to bring back life, but it also had the ability to end up bringing destruction. The same branch could bring life, it could bring destruction. So too is our mouth. So too is Koach HaDibur. We could use it to mamish, destroy the world through Lashon Hara, through destroying ourselves, talking about things that are inappropriate, and desires we have that are inappropriate. We destroy ourselves and destroy the world. Or we could use our mouth to speak nicely about others, to build others, to be mechazik others, to praise others. And literally, build the world. As the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Moves v'chayim b'yad halashon. Death and life is in the tongue. They're both there. It's just how do we utilize it? How do we use it? We see as well, there's another medrash of Shimon Gamliel. He had a very famous eved, a very famous servant, Tevi. He told Tevi, do me a favor, go bring me something very good to eat. And what's he bringing back? Tongue. Okay, I know some people don't like tongue so much. They get a little nervous. It's delicious. He brought him a delicious tongue to eat. The next day he says, go get me something that's not good to eat. Something bad. I think he must have been just testing him. You know what he brings him back? Tongue. Because tongue could be incredible and tongue could be terrible. Our mouth, the way we speak, could be the biggest builder in the world of Kedusha and builder of others, or could destroy the world, bitumah, and destroy others. It's all about how we speak. But it's not about just becoming a mute and being quiet. Every one of us, we have to decide we're going to use our speech to build others, to care for others. Do we understand the Koach HaDibur? As I was preparing the shir tonight, I couldn't stop speaking about a famous story I'm sure many of you have heard. But certain stories are worth repeating. It's such chizik. Mamish loved this story so much. There was a city in Europe, Danzig. And in Danzig, there was a Hasidic Rebbe. And this Hasidic Rebbe, every morning, he'd walk and he'd take a walk outside, all dressed up with his silver cane and his coat. The story is brought down in Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust by Yaffa Eliach. He was walking, and every morning he'd greet everybody along the way and say good morning to everybody in a very, very friendly fashion. And there was one individual that every single morning, he would greet and he'd say good morning. Herr Mueller. And every morning he'd say, when he'd pass this individual, this non-Jew, he'd say, good morning, Herr Mueller. And this man would look back and say, good morning, Herr Rabbiner. Good morning, Herr Mueller. Good morning, Herr Rabbiner. Good morning, Rabbi. Every single morning, that was the whole exchange. They weren't friends. They hardly knew each other. As we all know, the Holocaust began, obviously, of the worst of times in the history of the world. And this Rebbe's entire family was wiped out in Treblinka, and he himself was deported to Auschwitz to suffer in that hell on earth. And one day, as there often were, there was a selection. And the selection was who's going to live and who's going to be sent to the gas chambers. To the left, straight to the gas chambers. To the right, you get to live another day. And he hears the SS officer who's in charge of that particular selection. And he hears the voice, this rabbi is in Auschwitz, who at this point is initiated, and he's a skeleton of a human being. And his beard was shaved, his head was shaved. He didn't look anything like what he used to look. But he hears the voice of the SS officer who's in charge of that selection. And he recognizes it, and he's thinking, where do I know that voice from? But he doesn't even look up at the guy yet. And when it's his turn, he finally looks up at the guy, and without even thinking, impulsively, he looks at the SS officer. And he says, good morning, Herr Mueller. It was that man who became an SS officer for the Nazis. And the SS officer looked back and says, good morning, Herr Rabbiner. And the SS officer, he obviously immediately, instead of sending him to the left like so many that he was, and in the condition that he was, he definitely would have, he sent him to the right, and he saved his life. He saved his life, and not only that, the next day he found out he was shipped out of Auschwitz to a better off camp, whatever that meant. And he was able to survive because of that. All because of his friendly good morning every morning. All because of a good word. You know how much it costs? You know how much it costs you to give someone a good word? You know how much it costs you to praise someone? You know how much it costs you to say good morning to someone? To say good Shabbos to someone? Where at least, Baruch Hashem, we get to walk outside. This past Shabbos was nice weather. Today was beautiful weather. Whoever you pass, whoever it is, to say good Shabbos, to say how are you? Just a good word. It gives someone chias. It gives someone life. So sad to me. So many individuals don't even say good Shabbos to people anymore. People don't say good Shabbos to people. They're all just absorbed within themselves. A Yid doesn't say good Shabbos to another Yid. A Yid doesn't say good morning to another Yid. To another person. The Rebbe was to another person and saved his life. The Koyach HaDibur. The Koyach HaDibur. We have to use this ability to speak in a positive way, in a nice way. Destroy any negativity. Through that speech, we could be different people and we could change the world. You know, there's a very famous medrash. This is a medrash we all might have learned at some point in our youth. One of my daughters this past Shabbos, Nesya Tehila, she shared this medrash that her teacher taught her in fifth grade this year. And the medrash says as follows. It's found in Parshas Metzora. But I'll read it to you from the medrash and I'll tell it over so you see. It's mamish a medrash, it's mamish Torah. It's not just some parable created. Ma'isa b'roichel echad. There's a story. There's a ma'isa of a peddler. Sheyamachzer ba'yaros sheyasmuchas l'tzipori. He'd go around the cities near Tzipori. Vayamachrez v'omer. He'd scream out and say, "Man boy lemizban samchayim. Man boy lemizban samchayim. Who wants to purchase the potion of life?" Rabbi Yane was sitting there by his traklin, by his palace, whatever it was. Rabbi Yane heard this peddler professing that he could sell the potion of life. He says, "Come here, I'd like to buy some. I want some of that stuff. Bring me the goods. Bring me the goods. That's awesome. Who wouldn't want the potion of life? Great stuff." Amrlei, Lavan Sarich Le Vlad de Kavasech. You don't need this stuff. You don't need it. In other words, you're okay already. Atrichale Solik Lagabe. So but Rav Yane bothered him and burdened him that he should give it. Tell him what it is, give it to him. Hotzilo Sefer Tehillim, he pulled out a Sefer Tehillim and Horlo Pasik and he showed him the Pasik, the very famous Pasik. Mi Esha Chavetz Chaim. Who's a person who wants life? Maksiv Basrei, what's written afterwards? Nitzor Lashon Chemera. Remove your tongue from speaking any bad. The Samachayim, the potion of life, is to speak properly. Chavetz Chaim asked on this medrash, I don't understand, why did it have to be a peddler specifically teaching this lesson in the medrash? Why a peddler, a roichel? Why not any Baal HaChanus, owner of a store, or just some random individual walking around? Why a peddler? He says a peddler has to be paid for his goods immediately. What does a peddler do? A peddler has goods that he sells, and he goes from city to city. He's always constantly moving. He's on the move. So if you're going to purchase one of his goods, you have to pay him immediately. You can't pay him later because you're never going to see him again. He's going to be on to the next city. If you go into a store, you could say, "Can I purchase that? I'll come back in a week and pay you." And if he trusts you, maybe he will. But not a peddler, you got to pay right away. Chavetz Chaim said, that's why it was a peddler here. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to speaking properly, and you speak properly, gives you the schar, he pays you back for Kedushas HaPeh right away. When we speak properly, and we speak nicely, and we build others with our mouth, we're paid back right away. To be mechazik others, to praise others, to tell them how special they are. You know what that means to someone? I'm only sitting here having the ability to be mechazik and to give words of Torah. I don't know what these words do. It's a ziyata d'shmaya from Hashem. But only because individuals who spoke words, positive words to me. I'll tell you, I had a Rebbe in sixth grade in Yeshiva of South Shore. I grew up in Cedarist. I went to Yeshiva Toros Chaim of South Shore. Wonderful place, a wonderful yeshiva. My sixth grade rabbi was a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Elephant. When I grew up, those days South Shore was a little more, for me, it was a more yeshivish of a place. I was what known as, growing up, a little more of the modern chevra. Baruch Hashem, my family was very frum and wonderful. I have wonderful, incredible parents who are B'nai Torah, but just understand hashkafically a little bit for that yeshiva at the time. And But I thought at that point, and for years, for many years later, I thought I was going to become a doctor. My mother always wanted me to be a doctor. She always told me I'm going to be a doctor. And the truth is, I always wanted to be a doctor. I thought it would be something very special. I still have such high regards for doctors, how special it is to be a doctor, to help others, to care for others, to build others, to be involved in a parnasa where it's not just a means to an end towards parnasa, towards finance, but it itself is an end. So my Rebbe one day pulled me aside and he said, "You're probably going to go into medicine or something else, and that's okay." But he said to me, "You have kochos, you have abilities, and you have to one day, even if you're in these other worlds of parnasa, you have to be a guy that's giving over Torah and giving shiurim, and whether you give a daf yomi shiur once a week or some other type of shiur." And he was mechazik me in that, and he gave me very beautiful words. And they, as a sixth grader, those words stuck with me and helped me believe in myself. I'll never forget. And then when I was learning in Eretz Yisrael, middle of my Shana Aleph, I still thought at that point I'm going to go into medicine. I still believed it, and I was walking with my Rebbe from ninth grade who was visiting Eretz Yisrael, Rebbe Yitzchak Cohen Shlita, who's the Rebbe, had the schus to be Masada Gdushin by my Chasana. And we were walking through Meishar, and we spent the day together, spent Friday night together, by his son-in-law, we ate, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Katz, who's the Rebbe in the mirror, guddle within himself. And at one point we stopped, and we were talking what I plan to do with my life, and I told him I plan, I hope to become a doctor, and he looked at me, and he said to me words I'll never forget, he said, "Ari, you're a Kayin." He's a Kayin himself, obviously, Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen, and he said, "I'm not saying there aren't poiskim who okay it and what, but as a kohen, it's not so simple to go to medical school and cadavers and tumah and hospitals. Probably, I don't believe that's necessarily what the Rabbanu Shlomo would want you to be." But he started giving me words. He said, "Yeah, but you have a koyach to talk to others and to be there for others in the same way. You should be a roife," he says. He says, "You should be a roife. You should be a roife, a doctor." So I got a little confused. He started saying, "You should be a roife." He said, "But not a roife guf. Not a doctor for the body, a roife neshama, a roife for the soul." That's what he told me. And again, I'm 18 years old. I'm 18 years old. And the words penetrated, those beautiful words that he cared of me and he believed in me. And they stuck with me. Baruch Hashem, some other reasons ended up in this position. To go into chinuch. Mostly to just make sure that I stay inspiring myself for the rest of my life. Hopefully a few other people could listen along the way. But the bottom line is, those people's words, those Rabbeim's words, had a big effect on who I am. Changed me. We can change others. Our words can change. Could be mechazik others. Praising another person. Could build another person. Or as lo aleinu, we could damage another person. And through it all, we can either build or damage ourselves. And we have to know that. The Pasuk says, "Al pi Hashem Yisuv, al pi Hashem Yachanu." Pashup Shad, based on what Hashem said, is when we travel through the desert, because when Hashem would allow the Ananei HaKavod to move, that's when we know to travel. It's all based on Hashem. But maybe we could learn it a little differently. I think I saw this from Rav Melech Peterman. It's all al pi, it's all based on our mouth. Whether Hashem Yachanu, whether Hashem will camp within you and be with you, or Hashem Yisu, Hashem will travel away, it's based al pi on your mouth. Al pi, based on my mouth, Hashem Yisu, Hashem could fly away. If I don't speak properly, Hashem will fly away, travel away from me. Or I'll pee based on my mouth if I speak properly, and I build others, and I speak nice words, and I learn, and I daven. Yachin, and we camp inside me. Pee, pei yud, is gematria 90. 90 is the letter tzadi, which is a tzadik. You know the foundation, you know the biggest yisod of what makes someone a tzadik or tzadikis, it's your pee, it's what you do with your mouth. How we utilize our mouth. And that means, obviously, our learning and our davening. But just as important is how we speak to others, and how we speak about others, and how to speak when we're with others. So Be'ez Hashem Yisparach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these beautiful days of Sfira Sa'omer. Sfira is not just to count. Sfira is to shine. Sfira is Melashon Sapir, a sapphire, like a sapphire gem that shines. We want to be shining. We want to be growing. We want to change the world like the Divrei Chaim by changing ourselves. What should we be working on? We left Pesach to be speaking properly. We just had Tazria Metzora, Tzaras. Let's work on our Kedushas Hadibur. Work on the way we speak to each other, the way we speak about others. Let's be cognizant. Let's take practical steps and think about at least starting an hour a day, 2 hours a day, whatever we're ready for, to make sure and be thought out and sensitive to how we speak. And Amir Hashem through that, through the Alpi, Hashem Yachanu, Hashem will camp within each and every one of us. And the Schar will come immediately, like we said, pays up the peddler right away, the Chafetz Chaim says. And B'zoicha, not just Alpi Hashem Yachanu within each and every one of us, through changing ourselves, we'll change the world. B'zoicha, Alpi Hashem Yachanu, Hashem will again camp in His Makom on Har Abayis, with the Gilei Shechina, with Mashiach Tzidkenu, B'mheira B'meinu, B'karav Mamish. Everyone should have a wonderful, beautiful night. And Mitzvah Hashem will continue again soon.